Episode 182.
I had about 40 shop owners in Texas in there, and I challenged them to challenge me, because my opening statement was, it's you who's causing these water pumps to fail.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional. On Point. Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and thank you for listening to your premier aftermarket podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. And welcome to episode 182 with Bobby Bassett from Gates Corporation. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They're the reason you enjoy these interviews twice per week. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more, they're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. Hey, a shout out to Bryn Klein, Dick DeLoach, and Peter Edson for their Facebook connections, to Mike Ferrero for subscribing to my new YouTube channel, and to James Horning, Robert Parks, and Anne-Marie Aristig for their LinkedIn connections. You're in the right place, I guarantee, to learn from aftermarket professionals. You know, I love what I do, and I chronicle the best insights and stories from the aftermarket's brightest. Now, if you're a service professional, technician, service writer, entrepreneur, startup, supplier, distributor, salesperson, business coach, association member, educator, student, or a manufacturer, you're in the right place to gain insights, trends, and best practices, and to hear stories that make and shape remarkable results. Hey, as always, get out your notepad. Now, meet Bobby Bassett, the manager of Training North America for Gates Corporation. Now, be sure to visit Bobby's show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E182. Bobby Bassett's been recognized with the Mort Swartz Excellence in Education Award that exemplifies the best advances in concepts and programs for education in the North American automotive aftermarket. This is Bobby's third appearance and his second with me one-on-one. After his episode 148, I realized Bobby had so much more to share, so we picked a subject that is near and dear to Bobby's heart, cooling systems. Now, Bobby provides the simple secret to maximizing customer satisfaction when you replace a water pump. The stats on alleged defective water pumps is staggering, and that's why Bobby wanted to share the holy grail of minimizing comebacks. Bobby talks contaminated fluid and shares research on radiator and water pump failures along with OE coolant hose factors. This interview will save you, it'll make you money and bring your customer satisfaction rates way up as it relates to cooling system repairs. Bobby Bassett stresses that if you do not do a complete cooling system job, you're creating a very high chance of a comeback. And who wants comebacks? See the show notes page for the research statistics that Bobby speaks to in the interview. Now, here we go. Enjoy Bobby Bassett. Meet the manager of training, North America, of the Gates Corporation and the Mort Swartz Excellence in Education Award winner in 2014. Now, my guest is a driving force in the Gates Tools for Schools program and the Gates Performance Center. You've heard him on a previous episode, number 148. Please welcome Bobby Bassett.
Hey, how are you today, Carm, everyone else out there?
I am so great. Now, in the last interview, Bobby, we covered the percentage rate of timing belt failures after just installing the belt. You talked about critical reasoning behind the root cause failures, and you also talked about why tensioners are more important than ever. So, let's focus on cooling systems. Now, listen, time is money. You know that. Our mm-hmm. listeners know that. Satisfied mm-hmm. customers is what every service professional is looking for. And finally, doing the job right the first time is a mantra for service professionals. So let's jump into cooling systems.
All right. Well, Carm, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today about this. But let's start off with a couple of percentages. And I call these hard numbers. And these are hard numbers that you can actually take to the bank, because these are failures that are in the industry right now. If I told you that 40% of the radiators today that are failing, these are after you've replaced that radiator and the failure happens again, 40% of those radiators are failing and 95% of those water pumps are failing because of things that are happening with coolant contamination.
Wait a minute. You mean that 95% of water pump failure is because of coolant contamination, and is that the pump that's been on the car for quite a while?
Well, no, that's if we're replacing the pump that's been on the car for quite a while with a new pump. If in short order after we've replaced that pump, if it begins to leak or fail otherwise, then it's due to what we didn't do with the coolant at the time of the repair.
So it's replacement water pumps are failing at a 95% rate because of coolant contamination.
It's replacement water pumps. Wow. And that 40% of radiators also are replacement radiators.
All right, so we're going to end the episode. We're done. You just did the best thing in the world, replace the cooling.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the message, right?
That's the bottom line, Carl. But what happens in the industry, and is interesting, as we've talked this the last couple of years, and that is the word extended life keeps getting in the way.
Okay.
When someone looks at their coolant bottle, or when they think about the coolant that's in their vehicle, or if they go to the parts store, on the front of the coolant package, it states any make, any model, just top it off. Those two things are adding to the misery of the coolant. Now, I'd like to make a disclaimer right here. Gates fully supports the coolant manufacturers. This is not a battle with them.
Right.
This is a battle about knowledge, about understanding what's creating these failures after the fact if we don't do something. Because here's two things that are happening. We've done a lot of research. We've worked with other vendors that are out there. And basically what happens, water pumps, when we talk about coolant-related failures, water pumps very specifically are failing because of two reasons. Number one, the inhibitors that are no longer protecting if they don't. Or quite possibly are no longer protecting when they replace that water pump. So the coolant inhibitors aren't coating and protecting that metal.
Okay, so you've got inhibitors inside the cooling fluid, and they're breaking down after a while. So if you're going to do a water pump job, I guess it's a no-brainer that you've got to flush the system. I mean, is that the other major takeaway here?
That's the other major takeaway, Carm. But let me go a step back to help. Let me give you a very simple analogy to think about what an inhibitor do. Because when I ask my class, tell me what the purpose of an inhibitor is inside of the coolant package, most of them don't know. We know that coolant is there to raise the boiling point and lower the freezing point. But we don't really understand what the inhibitors' purpose are. And if they're diluted or actually non-existent, then they can't protect that new metal we just put in. So look at the water pump this way. If I took your car, Carm, and sanded it down to bare metal and pushed it out in the rain, now your paint on your vehicle is the inhibitor for that metal. So as soon as I sanded it down and pushed it out into the weather for a week, what would happen to that metal?
I see. Okay. It's going to start oxidizing.
It's going to start oxidizing and rusting. And the same thing happens to a water pump or any new metal that you place within that system. And that is, if we don't have the inhibitor that coats or a simple analogy is to paint it, to protect it from all the acidic fluid, all the acidics, all the salts, all the other bad stuff that's inside that coolant system, then the only thing that water pump can do is rust. Typically, it can take 2, 3, 4 weeks, maybe 2,000 miles to coat and protect that new metal. But if they're non-existent, then we've already set the system up for failure.
I'm talking with Anthony Frohwein, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. What are the techs saying about your visit?
Every single time that I set up a training, I try to position the van inside the shop. You know, you're part of their house at that point. Whenever you set aside that time, you tell them that you're coming in, you're providing a lunch, and you're really bringing something of meat and value to the table. Once they get a taste of it, really, by the time you're done, they're asking, when can you come back?
When can you come back? Or, hey, what else you got in your bag of tricks?
Exactly. Exactly.
So the greatest outcome of your visit to a professional shop
is just to really make a difference in their everyday procedures to maximize, obviously, maximize the premium end of the product that's being installed. But ultimately, for me being an ex-shop owner as well, is to maximize their profitability in installing the part right the first time and having a happy customer. I always say a happy customer is like a happy wife. Happy wife, happy life. Same thing goes with the customer.
I've heard that before. So you take a Wagner OEX pad and you put it into the hands of a technician. What happens?
First off, they're floored with the cut design on the front end. They'd never seen a brake pad like this before. And then you start to break it down into why it's cut the way it is and how it's application or platform specific, how the backing plates are no longer painted, they're zinc coated, and that's for tolerance level, so that way you don't have buildup on the ears and fitting into the hardware. I mean, you get into all the little nuances that they've changed around with that brake pad on top of the performance end of it. I mean, it's phenomenal. And then once they physically try the brake pad, either on a customer's car or their own vehicle, I've heard nothing but rave reviews about the brake pad.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com.
All right, so a tech's got a water pump in his hand, and he's going to put it on. And he's got to respect the fact that as soon as fluids, like the cooling system, hits it, it's going to change properties unless the coolant is new and fresh.
That's absolutely right. And in Amalgatech, the company that we worked with, they did a lot of research for us. They told us that just 17% of intermixing of coolants can create a reaction against the metal on the inside of the aluminum. Now this reaction loves aluminum, but what it likes better than the aluminum, it loves the flux that holds the aluminum together.
Oh.
And that's part of what the inhibitors do, is they coat against this. So when we talk about mixing coolants, they told us that if you mix a HOTS, which is a organic acid technology, OATS, with a HOTS, which is a hybrid organic acid technology, they don't play well together, and they can react very quickly against aluminum. So if this aluminum is not coated with the inhibitors, then it can begin to fail.
You know, here, an armchair quarterback in this thing, why aren't the manufacturers coating their water pump against these failures?
That's a good question, Carm. All the components in that coolant system rely on that coolant to coat and protect it. That's the property of the coolant. And if the coolant inhibitor has failed, then it can't do its job.
Okay, so it's not just the water pump. It's everything else the coolant touches. That's why the inhibitor needs to be there. And it needs to be fresh. So if 95% of water pump failures is due to coolant contaminations, what percentage of flushes are being done?
Very low. Very low. A lot of it has to do with a competitive situation. And for those techs that I talk to, when I ask, you know, if I have a class of 100, I'll ask, how many of you have a flush machine? And you may have a quarter of them raise their hand. So the next question is, how many of you use those? And almost all of them go down. And when we ask, why don't you use the flush machine? It's because it takes time, and if we add time to the job, then the cost of the repair goes up. So it becomes a competitive situation sometimes. In order to do the flush and do it right, it costs more, and if a customer's calling around from place to place trying to get pricing on the repair, then who are they? They'll always lean towards the person that has the least cost in the repair job.
Got it. So why isn't cooling built in to the program right now for the entire industry to know that that's the best insurance that they could ever have?
It's a struggle, Carm. It's, you know, a lot of the older techs out there, we've never had to do it that way. Yeah. That's one of the one okay. of the statements that we hear. We don't realize there's a change. There's a cost associated with the job. Again, extended life coolant, just that name itself, it implies that we should never have to change it. And typically, if you go to the parts store, then there's also confusion on the label there that says any make, any model, just pour it in. The interesting thing on the back of the coolant bottles, it states that if you want to see the extended life and protection, you must flush it. In fact, Peak says it's required, but, you know, the consumer doesn't see that. They see any make, any model, just top it off.
Okay, so I discover, you know, I know that there's techs and shop owners out there listening, and they've got all the answers to many of the questions that I'm asking you, and I'm sure are excited to hear this dialogue, because maybe we can change habits that are out there. But if I know a job came in and I see the water pump leaking, and I know I've got to put on a new water pump, when's the right time to do a flush?
In my opinion, or in our opinion, I'll put it that way, and we've done a lot of research, if we've opened that system to do a repair and it's a high-mileage vehicle, it's time. And here's the reason why. Today we have high-mileage vehicles. We have – they're 10 to 12 years old. Preventive maintenance, for the most part, has been ignored, especially the coolant. So now's the time to fully replace that. And as I just stated, number one, I look at it as the left-hand, right-hand for water pump failure. On the left hand, if we don't flush and renew those inhibitors, then we can't coat or paint the inside of the metal to protect it from all the bad stuff that's in that coolant system. On the right hand, what causes that water pump seal to fail are all the particulates that are suspended in that solution that we have not flushed out. And a quick analogy there is, think about this. If you're drinking a very nice glass of tea and someone walked by and threw a little handful of sand up in there, as soon as you took the next drink, what would you chomp down on?
Yeah, gritty tea. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what that's what ruins the seal. See, so those are the two things really that impact the water pump the most, and that is the inhibitors aren't coating and protecting, and number two, we have not flushed out all the particulates that are suspended in the solution that are ruining that water pump seal. And we have to remember the seal, water pump seal, uses the coolant to lubricate that seal under operation.
And that's a key, lubricating that seal, isn't it?
It is. Think about it this way. It's a simple analogy. It's what I try to use so people can remember. If you looked at two panes of glass, one was stationary, one revolves with the shaft, and it uses that lubricant to lubricate those two panes of glass as the water pump's turning. If I took a handful of sand and threw it between the two panes of glass, what would happen to the glass?
Same story, yeah.
It's scored. So that's what's happening here. So if you've got a customer that's complaining, I've replaced one water pump, two water pumps, three water pumps, and this is typically what we hear. We bought your water pump. We replaced it the first time the seal was leaking, the second time the seal was leaking, and I went back to the OE and bought theirs, and it didn't leak. Think about what we've been doing along the way. We've been flushing the system along the way through the first water pump, the second water pump, and now the third water pump.
Yes. Yeah. By the time the third's getting on, most of the fluid's been flushed through.
Yeah. And if you'd have fully flushed it the first time, you'd have had a happy customer from that point forward.
Okay. I install a water pump on a customer's car, and I don't flush. What's the timeline that the average timeline that bad fluid's going to ruin that pump? Is it a year, less than a year?
It's, we've found on average, as we circle back with these shops that turn in these high rate labor claims and warranties, as we circle back and ask to see their repair order, what we found is typically within 7 months, 7,000 miles is when they did perform the water pump repair the first time. If they didn't fully flush the system at that time, the customer will be back with additional water pump failure or other related failure within the cooling system.
That's not a long time.
Not at all. Not at all.
So it's almost like you've got a little bomb ticking over in the corner.
I tell you, it's really frustrating. And when you talk about I did a presentation for the Mobile Air Conditioning Society first of this year, and we had shops. I had about 40 shop owners and techs in there, and I challenged them to challenge me, because my opening statement was, it's you who's causing these water pumps to fail. It's your practice. And if you don't think that's a great opening statement to get interaction from the participants, it was. And so they challenged me all morning long. And by the end of the presentation, they all agreed, it's our fault. And when if you start looking back at why they don't do the full flush, it's because it adds cost to the repair and the customer doesn't want to pay for it. So at some point, the customer owns this vehicle, and the question is, do you want me to fix it or do you not want me to? So there's liability associated with taking shortcuts today.
How many shops do it right that you know of? There's got to be a ton of them out there that say, listen, I don't want this to come back. I've listened, or maybe I should rephrase that. Of the many people, Bobby, that you've had in your class, you've done webinars for, how many listen to you and turn their cooling system diagnostics around?
Carm, it's interesting. I get a lot of testimonials after the fact that they didn't realize what was creating the failure. There are a lot of great shops out there that already just include the flush in the water pump or coolant repair. It's just become good practice for them, and they've eliminated the vast majority of the failures that they see within that system. So there are a lot out there that do it, but there's a lot out there that they're still doing it the old way, and because of competitive situation, they're resisting.
Yeah, consumers feel that it's just an add-on unnecessary sale.
Well, the question I try to teach the service writers is when the customer comes in the shop, here's a question that we need to ask our customer. Tell me about your coolant. Has it ever been contaminated? Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know either. You know, the second question is, tell me about the inhibitors. Are they still protecting your metal?
No.
I don't know. Well, I don't know either. So I can't provide the warranty and base my reputation on something neither one of us know.
Yeah, those are phenomenally simple questions where you know the answer is going to be that the consumer doesn't know. And when they go to a service advisor, it's trusted, been going there a long time. I think that's the key word. Trust me to do a very thorough, complete job.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's but again, the only thing that kind of pushes us the other way to this regard is it's the cost associated with it. But we have to help our customers understand it is absolutely critical that we do it this time. And one other analogy to think about this, if you bought a brand new, and I'll just use Chevrolet in Miami, Florida, and drove to San Francisco, California, and you decided to get your oil changed along the way, if you stopped at whatever lube, what would they and they changed your oil and your coolant bottle was low, what do they put in that? What coolant do they use? And when you
probably not the one necessarily for that vehicle.
The answer 99.9% of the time that when I ask that question is I don't know.
Yeah.
See. So right there, someone just introduced a coolant into your system that we don't know if it's compatible or not, and so the failure begins from that point forward, even if it's a new vehicle.
Okay. Humbling. Great stats. Something that I would hope that the industry continues to embrace. And when you're out there teaching, you are changing people's minds and methods, yes?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, in fact, one thing you have to remember about Gates is we don't sell antifreeze. We do sell water pumps. Our interest was to become prime in the water pump industry, which we have. But we found that we had to find ways to help protect our water pumps because the consumer or the technician was not doing that. So we were forced to reach out and find a little power flush tool called Power Clean that helps for those that don't have a full flush, or maybe they're using the water hose wash procedure that's not able to get all the particulates out. And the worst type of coolant replacement today is the partial replacement, where you just drop the antifreeze out of the radiator, did your repair, and then put a gallon back in. Two things: we don't know if the inhibitors are still working in the with in the coolant that's left in the block, or if there's particulates suspended in that. We have to flush that part out.
You're trying to protect the products that you sell, which is very admirable, because who wants to be known as the defective king of water pumps, especially if you're building a great unit? Just yes. Like all the other manufacturers that are out there, they probably love the fact that you're out spreading this word. Let's go to, there's more in the cooling system than just a water pump. There are hoses, for an example, you know, and you guys sell hoses, and we're not here to sell your product. We're just here to educate. What's the time frame that the hoses are really critical to be changed?
The hoses today are made with EPDM, ethylene propylene diene class M of rubber, and they're just like the belt, so they last a long time. And because of that, these hoses can last 10, 11, 12 years, but we're seeing the hose failures begin to spike between 10 to 11 years. Got and it. The reason is the technicians forgot to check them. They last so long now. So now we have a catastrophic failure. But there are two other things within the coolant system that we need to be aware of. And that is the cap itself, and that is the thermostat. This contaminated coolant now is impacting the thermostat, and it's impacting the little rod that pushes up the thermostat open and close. So it won't allow it to open freely, and the spring keeps pushing it down, so it begins to chatter. This creates pressure and temperature for the system. If we look at the cap as well, the cap is a two-way valve today. As the system heats up and expands, and it allows the coolant to go over into the bottle, and when it contracts, it pulls it back out of the bottle and puts it back in the system, and this helps eliminate air. These caps today are beginning to fail as well. So it's absolutely critical today that we check that cap to make sure it's operating correctly, and that if it's a high mileage vehicle, it just becomes a standard practice to replace that thermostat as well.
So interesting and so valuable for you to share your knowledge. What else? Any final words on checking out the cooling system?
Carm, I tell you what, after all the failures that we've seen, and I've got a wonderful picture of a big blue construction dumpster that's filled three quarters of the way filled with water pumps that get returned back to us. The interesting thing is over 80% of those water pumps aren't even ours. So what happens is your parts store is trying to take care of you. So they're just, typically it may not matter whose brand, they'll swap it with you. It ends back in our warranty box. As we begin to look at these, it's very evident as we begin to throw these out to get down to what are the actual failures. They're either coolant related because the inhibitors aren't protecting, or it's the seal that's failing. If you see that weep hole leaking, it's okay for it to weep a little bit because it's doing its job. But if it begins to leak, then don't just replace the water pump again without flushing the system and renewing that coolant. At that point, it is absolutely critical that you flush that system.
Great advice. Thanks for coming back. Another episode with you and all your great knowledge and all the great things you do for the industry and all the education you provide, even to the students that are going through automotive tech. Thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Carl.
Hey, guys and gals, thanks so much for listening. Find Bobby Bassett's show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E182. Now, Bobby brought up some very powerful solutions to cooling system comebacks. The competitive pressure not to include a coolant flush is the holy grail to doing a complete and a thorough job and minimize comebacks. The stats, 40% of radiator failure and 95% of water pump failure is due to coolant contamination. Okay, now you've heard the impassioned wisdom. Now go do the right thing. Hey, thanks for the emails, feedback, and ideas. Carm@remarkableresults.biz is how you get a hold of me. And I really do appreciate your engagement with the podcast and would ask that you help spread the word. Your help is needed to engage everyone who works in our beloved automotive aftermarket. Go tell a friend. I'm grateful. Thanks. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.